views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Welcome to the hit show Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com. During this hit show, David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. He invites you to engage him in discussing how these living messages and living revelations are relevant to your personal spiritual quests. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. Join our sacred circle of oneness and call 1-800-930-2819 to share. Now here is your host, David Christopher Lewis.
Welcome, everybody. It's a great day here in Montana, and I have a special guest today who I met about 9 years ago in a little spiritual community in Stell, Illinois, about 70 miles south of Chicago. His name is Bill Wilson. He's an amazing guy, a very kind gentleman, very Buddhic. and he's the first one who told me about permaculture, which we've talked about on a few previous shows. And I'd like to invite him today because he was the one who taught my wife and really inspired her. And now she's a great proponent of this wonderful kind of new understanding of permaculture, which is kind of permanent agriculture. So Bill is a kind of out-of-the-box kind of guy. And he, with his wife Becky, live in this community. And he co-founded Midwest Permaculture with her to leave the planet a better place and in a better condition than he found it and that we all found it. So this is now Bill's full-time work. He's managing, teaching, speaking, writing, and providing permaculture design services and classes and traveling widely from California all the way to Africa. So welcome, Bill.
Morning, David.
For those who may be listening for the first time and unfamiliar with this term permaculture, can you please share what it is, a little bit about its ethics, and how you feel it can help us today?
Well, sure. The actual word and the movement itself came out of Africa. Excuse me, Africa. I mean Australia. It's an A word, right? Came out of Australia, late 70s and early 80s. There was a fellow that coined that term. His name is Bill Mollison, and he wrote a pretty heavy text called The Designer's Manual, Permaculture, A Designer's Manual. But the original work was co-authored with a fellow by the name of David Holmgren. So the two of them actually developed the concept. And what they did is they were looking for a way to deal with the emergence of industrial agriculture into Australia. Australia wanted to green up just like America had, but Australia is a much more fragile continent than the U.S., and if they did industrial agriculture, where we basically till the soil every year and plant a monoculture, they would ruin their topsoils in a matter of just a generation, like 30 years, and they did. So Bill Mollison said, we have to find a more permanent kind of agriculture, and that's how he coined that term. But as he started researching and getting into the agricultural aspects of cultures and communities, he realized that the human element is involved in more than just growing food. It's our energy, it's our water, it's our buildings, and he realized that all of those things also affect the total environment and the long-term quality of life for this generation and futures. So the word quickly morphed from just permanent agriculture to permanent culture. So yeah, that's the origins of it. And so it's actually a small movement that has just blossomed. It's not heavily controlled. There's not a board that allows you to speak or talk and get approved or anything. It's really been given to people to take forward in a responsible way. And as a design science. It is a science. It's an approach to designing a way of living on the planet, like you said, so that we could actually leave this place in a little better condition than when we arrived, rather than consuming it or polluting it. And so they started with an ethic or a base ethic, which is care of people, care of planet, and what they call fair share or caring for the future. And it was really these fundamental ethics or principles that really make permaculture pretty unique. You can study design, whether it's in civil engineering or in architecture, what have you. It doesn't start with an ethic. They start with, can you make any money doing this, or how do you provide these services for the least dollar, something like that. Whereas in permaculture, the adage is that you do have to provide a service, and you do have to get a yield. You do have to make a profit. But you also, this is called the triple bottom line, you also have to take care of the environment, and you have to take care of people. You can't abuse people to get the results for a few individuals or a few countries to take advantage of. So because of the ethical base behind this, there's millions of people that really do care for creation. They care for, this planet, and they care for the future of it. And so we've been looking for a way to approach how to live on the planet and design living systems that work with nature rather than against it. And so that's how permaculture has grown and evolved, and it continues to grow today. It is relatively, you could walk down the street and I could ask, in a Midwestern town, 10 people what permaculture is, and I probably wouldn't get one person who would know. But as a movement, it's really catching on, and there are hundreds of thousands of people now that have taken a permaculture design course like the one that Mona took with me. So it's pretty exciting work.
Wonderful. Well, we've heard the term sustainability, and that's growing now, and kind of the organic movement and other back to nature and back to the land movements. How does permaculture relate to sustainability?
The way I look at permaculture, it's really an umbrella word for all things sustainable, or an umbrella approach, design approach for all things sustainable. Because we're not only interested in sustaining what is, but we really want to improve upon what is. The way I like to talk about it is, I remember as a little kid, I was a Boy Scout. And on our first campouts that we would go on, the scoutmaster, we'd get out of the cars and we'd start running around getting ready to set up camp. He goes, whoa, 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 wait, everybody, come over here. We're going to walk this campsite. We're going to walk through here, and we're going to take a look at the condition it's in, because when we leave on Sunday, we're going to leave this campsite in better condition than when we arrived. Mm. Now, that essentially is what permaculture is attempting to do. Just imagine if every wave, every generation of humans that comes onto this planet, when we were greeted, we were basically told, or as we were raised, look, you're here. There's only two things you got to do. One is wake up to the realization that, you're living in a miracle, and that it's an amazing life, and that, there's so much to learn and to enjoy and to marvel at the wonder of creation. So number one, get that. Wake up. Number two is, while you're here, enjoy it, but leave it in better condition than when you arrived.
Yeah, just right. Imagine if businesses today did that, we'd have a different culture, wouldn't we?
Yes, it's really a basic ethic, isn't it? Just to take care and leave a place in a little better condition than when you arrived. It's just courtesy. Well, we understand it, but upon a planetary level or on a cultural level, we don't. We basically go over here and blow things up and pollute and all kinds of things in order to get some immediate gratification here. And if it was the only way that we could live on this planet, and for a long time I thought it was. I didn't think it was possible for humans to live on this planet without damaging it. Mm-hmm. But after I took my permaculture courses just over 10 years ago, I came out of that thing and I said, oh my gosh, there is a way that we can live abundantly well and still leave the planet in better condition. We can clean up the pollution. We can grow topsoil while we're growing food. We can build houses and have the energy we need without polluting the environment. And it's absolutely possible. And that's why permaculture is capturing so much interest it is a path to living responsibly and sustainably. And we're not talking about moving into caves or teepees or anything, although there are a few people I'm sure would enjoy that. We're talking about, you know, living in a really well-built home, being safe, being secure, having heat, having coolness, and it all can be done by taking care of the environment at the same time.
Great. Well, I'm interviewing Bill Wilson. This is David Christopher Lewis with Heart Center Talk Radio, sponsored by the Heart Center Movement and Community. And we're going to take our first commercial break here in just a few seconds. And stay tuned. There's a lot more to come about the practical elements of permaculture for you today.
Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
The Read of a Lifetime, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis, overflows with new vital revelations to enlighten your mind and transform your world. Learn to supercharge your aura with rainbow-colored radiance and magnetize your heart's highest desires. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura. It will change how you see yourself. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis. Order it today at davidclewisbook.org.
Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Well, we're back on Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Christopher Lewis. My guest today is Bill Wilson, and he is the founder, co-founder of Midwest Permaculture, and he's conducted all kinds of classes out of his home and on the property where he lives in Stell, a spiritual community about 70 miles south of Chicago, and he's traveled widely. Bill, we are creating, Mona and I, my wife, are creating what we call a permaculture demonstration site on our property in Montana, inspired by you, I have to say. And one of the things that's part of our vision is to create what's called a food forest. Can you explain what that term is and share with our listeners today the importance of it?
Oh, sure. It's a really kind of a key concept in permaculture, because we're trying to create a permanent culture, and we're trying to create a permanent agriculture to go with that. And the way you create permanence in a system like that is to plant like an apple tree. You plant it one time, and then for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, it continues to produce, and you don't have to till the soil or anything else like that. And the way I like to describe it is to explain the effect or the power of a food forest is, ask people to imagine them standing, you know, out looking at a field, you know, acres and acres of field, and it's just empty, you know, it's just been tilled, let's say. But you have a basket of half a bushel of all kinds of garden seeds. So we throw the garden seeds out onto the land, and we watch. We basically stand here for an entire growing season. Let's say in the North American continent, let's call it May to October. So we're going to stand here for an entire growing season. The sun comes up every day. Once in a while, it rains. We threw our seeds out. Maybe we even worked them in a little bit. What's our yield at the end of that year? All right, and that's pretty nice. You know, you've got plants growing, and you've got all kinds of different vegetables probably growing out in there. So it's a decent yield. But imagine it's not you and me standing here. Imagine our parents were standing here in front of this, you know, acres of land like 30 years ago. Let's go 30 years back. And, yeah, they threw their basket of seeds out because they have to eat, right? But they say, you know, someday, you know, David and Mona are going to be here. Bill and Becky are going to be here. So let's do this. While we're watching this food grow, or while we're waiting, let's go to the back of the field, or to the north end of the area, and let's put in some of these massive nut trees that we're familiar with, the oak, the black walnut, and the Carpathian walnut. Let's put in hickory. Let's put in chestnut. And in front of those, let's put in these massive fruiting trees we're familiar with, like cherry and apple and peaches and pears. And in front of those, let's put in shorter statured species. Let's put in serviceberry. Let's put in hazelnut. That's a nut plant, a bush that'll produce carbohydrates, proteins, and oils in 3 to 4 years and then produce well for decades. Let's put in, you know, semi-dwarf fruiting trees. And then in front of those, even shorter in stature, let's put in gooseberries and currants and asparagus and rhubarb. And, you know, just think of all the kinds of perennial plants that we're familiar with. For every plant we know that's perennial, there's 100 more out there that we don't know because we've lost touch with these kinds of foods. So let's say our parents did that. You know, for 4 or 5 years, they had to, you know, grow their annual crops. But the perennial crops started to come on, and they started to become, you know, started to mature. But 5 years into the project, they had to walk away. And they walk away, and you know, and we're born. And 25 years later, something unfortunate happens to mom and dad, and we're going through their belongings, and we find out, holy cow, mom and dad had a piece of property. Here's the deed for it. Let's go check this place out. So 25 years after they walked away, you and I walk onto that land, and we stand in the exact same spot they were standing in 25, 30 years ago. And what do we see?
You know, lots of stuff to eat.
We're looking at a forest, basically, yeah. A food forest. And the tallest species are to the north, and then they become shorter and shorter as they get closer to us. And the yield in that situation, let's stand there now for an entire year. Let's stand there from May to October. What is our yield now? And it's massive. I mean, you have to back up the trucks. There is no way we could begin to even harvest everything. There is so much food abundance there.
Uh-huh.
And that's what a food forest is. And the beauty of the food forest, it's not just the food we get. What else do we get from that forest environment? What are the other kinds of yields? You know, the obvious one is how about shade? How about protection from the wind? How about wood for fuel? How about wood to build a house? Are you a meat eater? You know, you can sustainably, you know, if you just don't kill all the animals at once, you know, you can sustainably harvest meat from that environment in the way of wildlife, as long as you don't take them all at once. And You don't even have to, there's no work involved with that. You don't have to raise them. You don't have to keep them in pens. You don't have to feed them. You don't have to get up and milk them twice a day. They just produce abundance of meat because they're natural to that environment. The other thing that happens in that environment is that it's pulling a tremendous amount of carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere to generate that system. And then on top of that, it's creating oxygen. And on top of that, it's holding more rainwater. Look at all the yields by growing a system like that.
So not everybody has a few acres of land to do this, although we do, and that's what we're doing. What can people, let's say, who live in suburbia do, who just have a general, like a yard, and, you know, there's a whole kind of a movement to transform lawns into gardens. And, you know, you've done that on your own property, because I've been there and I've seen what you've done. Explain to us what the common person who may not have 2 or 3 acres of land can do.
Well, I would say the first thing that we can do as urbanites or suburbanites, the first thing we can do is find people who are growing food and taking care of the landscape and buy our food from them. Go to farmers markets and find people who really are taking care, leaving the planet in better condition when they arrived, and let's buy our food from them. And if we do that, we basically are also taking care of the land. Because if that person is not in business, they're not taking the land. It's going to go to somebody who's going to basically drain the resources off that property.
And there's a lot of CSAs now, even in New York or Brooklyn. I mean, you can get organic food grown on rooftops and, you know, in nearby farms through the CSA program.
Exactly. And just because a farm is organic actually doesn't mean that they're leaving it in better condition. It's much better than eating food that's laced with chemicals or genetically modified organisms. But even organic farming requires usually the tilling of the soil on an annual basis, so there is soil loss in those situations. It's definitely better, but there are better ways to do it as well. So let's look for people who have figured out a way to grow topsoil and food at the same time. So that's the first thing. But then the second thing is to look at every piece of property, that even if you just have a small suburban lot. It's easy to put in a couple of fruit trees. It's easy to put in rain gardens. That's the first thing everybody should do, is put in a rain garden. So when it does rain, the water comes down your downspouts, or the water that's running down your driveway, have it pull into an impression into your yard and allow that water to soak in and go down into the ground and recharge the water tables. I bet you it's going to become a law in the next 10 to 20 years based on the climate changes we're seeing and the droughts we're seeing. We've got to start holding water on the landscape where it falls. We can't let it run off the landscapes and go into our river systems. Once it's in the river, it's done. It's gone. And this, in our part of the world, it's going to the Mississippi. In your part of the world, I think it goes up to the Columbia or something.
Yellowstone.
we've got to hold water on the landscape where it falls and let it soak in and recharge the water tables. So, and you could have a single apple tree in your yard, but, you know, by grafting, you can graft, let's say, 6 varieties of apple onto a single apple tree. Maybe somebody already has an apple tree in their yard. You can graft different varieties onto that tree, and now you have an early apple, a mid apple, a late apple, an apple that preserves really well, one that's really sweet, one that's really tart. We have a friend that's he's a nut, you know, when it comes to fruit. He's got 40 different varieties of apples on a single tree.
Wow, and that's there at Stell or somewhere?
No, not in Stell. This is a friend of ours up in Wisconsin who's been growing fruit for 30 years.
Wow.
So it can be done. So in a small space, there's some really excellent videos out there, and there's not one in particular that jumps to mind, but there are more and more people that are finding out ways to not only generate a lot of food on their property, but to create a property that looks more like an arboretum than of just a plain old lawn. We do have to be careful about how we do this food growing in the suburban environments. We want to make it look aesthetically pleasing, and there's no reason it can't be aesthetically pleasing and very productive. But we do need to do that so that as our neighbors wake up to what we're doing, they see it as something intriguing, beautiful, and interesting, and not an eyesore.
Right. So you teach in your classes all kinds of methodologies for people to facilitate kind of a shift from the way it has been, which is a little bit more unconscious, to a very conscious and scientific and spiritual type of new matrix that is really caring for the world, caring for each other, caring for the environment. And we're going to talk much more about this with my guest today, Bill Wilson of Midwest Permaculture. You can check out his website, midwestpermaculture.com. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes with our third segment and get more into this topic of permaculture. I'm David Christopher Lewis, and you're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm David Lewis, and my guest is Bill Wilson, and we're talking about permaculture. And Bill, since you've taught a lot of courses in the last 10 years or so, you've seen the growth both in the Midwest and actually throughout the United States of this training and kind of the new culture that's being built through an understanding of permaculture. Take us through what would be in a normal type of course that you would teach. And by the way, I recommend that everyone who is serious about this take a class through a certified permaculture teacher like Bill. So run us through what you would teach.
All right. Well, the reason we started Midwest Permaculture is when I wanted to take a training about 10 years ago, we couldn't find any trainings in the Midwest. So we actually hosted one of the first courses, I think, in the Midwest. We brought in a fellow from California who's been teaching, and he taught that course, and that was the course that I took. And when I came out of that course, I told Becky, my wife, I said, honey, this is the work. This is the way that we can talk about all the things that we're passionate about, and it's all under this one umbrella. I mean, we can talk about energy. We can talk about growing food. We can talk about spirituality, because all that permaculture asks is what is and how do things work, and then how do we work with the way things work so we don't have to do extra work.
Right.
Pretty simple. So it's a very honest, it's a very refreshing approach. There's no agenda here. It's just how do things work and how do we do it so we don't tear things up? And there are ways. So that's the heart and soul of a permaculture course, is to give people, one, the inspiration to know what's possible, two, some of the tools so they know how to go about designing, look for where are the opportunities. A lot of people don't see the opportunities around them, because we're not trained to see things that way. And then how to design with that. And then the third thing is the course is loaded with all kinds of unique and interesting techniques for applying this kind of thinking, this way of living. So when people leave a permaculture course, they always leave with lots of ideas and ways to start making changes right away. But I've been doing this, like you say, about 10 years now, and I'm still learning stuff every single day, and don't see an end to that, which is fine with me. It's an approach. It's really a deepening. It's not so much getting information in your head as much as it is understanding the ethics and the principles of permaculture and allowing it to become the way you actually see the world and then the way you interact or relate to the world. It's really about caring for creation. I don't want to make this woo-woo, but it really is spiritual work. It's about getting up in the morning and saying, how am I going to spend my day today? Am I just going to go unconscious and go around and consume and pollute and what have you? Not consciously, but just unconsciously, you were just consuming. Apparently, 90% of everything that's manufactured this year will be in a garbage dump by the end of next year. So that's just the nature of our culture, is that we tend to consume and create pollution. So permaculture is about waking up and becoming a little more responsible, saying, I don't want to contribute to that as much this year as I did last year. And so every year we reduce our consumption, we reduce the waste, and we start creating more abundance around us at the same time. And slowly but surely, the equation starts to shift. And you need less and less, and you start gaining more and more.
Now, I'm looking at your website right now, and I'm seeing in one of the bottom photographs some guys having some, like, tree branches, and it looks like they're going to cover them with dirt. And I know there's a term called hugel culture. Can you explain that and the benefits of it? Because this is something that we've done on our property here in Montana. It's amazing what we've seen as the plant growth when you have these hugel culture beds. So tell us what that's about.
Yeah, my understanding of it is it comes out of Germany and Austria. Hugel is the German word for mound. So it's a mound culture. And there were areas in Europe there that it's so rocky, there really is very little soil. It's mountainous and rocky, and you can't put a shovel in the ground and grow a garden. And they discovered if they dragged wood out of the woods into an open spot and then covered a big pile of wood with soil, they could start planting in that. And what would happen is the wood would begin to break down. The wood they would put in, some of it would be fresh and relatively new, but a lot of it would be old wood, and some of it would be very rotten. Well, when they started planting in here, and what happens is when the wood gets covered and every time it rains, as the wood breaks down, it becomes a cellulose sponge, and it starts absorbing more and more water. The other thing that happens is the way that plants actually feed in the soil, the way they really eat, it's not the nutrients in the soil, it's actually the nutrients coming from the beneficial bacteria in the soil. It's, you know, in a spoonful of soil, they say there's 10 million bacteria. And of that 10 million bacteria, there are 25,000 different species of bacteria. This is pretty mind-boggling stuff. Well, it's those bacteria that eat the carbon in the soil, which is basically organic matter, and it's their byproduct that produces a nutrient that the plant can absorb, including nitrogen, which is ironic. Nitrogen makes up 78% of our atmosphere, but plants cannot access that nitrogen from the atmosphere. It's the bacteria that takes in the nitrogen, and they change it. Several different bacteria actually have to change that nitrogen into a form that can be used by plants. So what you end up doing is by adding all that wood to the soil, not only are you holding water, but you're creating a perfect environment for beneficial bacteria. The beneficial bacteria count explodes, and all of a sudden the massive amounts of nutrients and now extra moisture are available. And if you're seeing what we're seeing about twice the production out of our hugelkultur beds than we are from a typical garden bed. And that's less watering.
That's what I've found. And that's the key, is you don't have to water it very much because the water just seeps in there and it's stored and it's awesome. Hey, what have you seen in terms of trends in colleges and universities? Do you see the viability of permaculture as the type of class that actually can be taught in universities, or are they so controlled by the monoculture matrix of the current agricultural system that it's hard to get a foothold in the university systems?
Yeah, well, the quick answer is it's coming. It's happening. There are universities that have picked up on permaculture, and maybe they're more liberal universities or something, but University of Massachusetts, Oregon State, Edgewater College, there are universities that are starting to make permaculture part of curriculum, agronomy departments, that kind of stuff. But one of the reasons it's been slow to catch on, and we've been invited by the University of Wisconsin to teach a couple of courses up there, and we're co-sponsored by their sustainability department. But it's not the university that's sponsoring us. It's the sustainability department that can choose to bring in a teacher. But for the most part, you know, permaculture is sort of this, you know, excuse the expression, a bastard child. It's one of these movements that wasn't ordained by modern education. Mm-hmm. And so it's Bill Mollison was a bit of a renegade. And so this actually was picked up by the counterculture movement, permaculture. But it's so refreshing and it's so pertinent to where we are today. There are a lot of mainstream people that are picking up. We have, you know, almost every course now I have PhD students who will have their PhDs, and they've been teachers, spent a whole lifetime teaching, that kind of stuff. And they come out of these courses and they say, oh, my God, this is so powerful. This needs to be taught in every junior high school. This needs to start in junior high school. Actually, it needs to start in grade school, but it really needs to be taught in schools. It's powerful. It's mind-breaking. One of the more inspiring things I had is I had a woman who got her master's from Yale, her doctorate from Columbia, her master's and her doctor from Harvard, and she the only certificate she has hanging on her wall at home is her Midwest permaculture certificate. Her husband is just beside himself. They spent so much money sending her to all these colleges, and what she really honors is her permaculture certificate. I also had in the last course a 72-year-old gentleman who is a retired lieutenant colonel from the military. He's a Marine. And when he finished, he came up with almost tears in his eyes, and he said, Bill, this is the only certificate that really means that has really meant anything to me. So it's powerful. And the reason it's powerful, it's because it's anchored in reality. It's permaculture is anchored in truth. It's anchored in what is. It's not a judgment. It's not an I think or an I feel or I believe. It's just what is. And creation is where we came from. I mean, we all came out of creation, and caring for it just seems like the responsible thing to do. And people ache for that. people ache to be in an authentic relationship with life and to feel that they at least made some kind of a contribution during their lifetime.
Well, a lot of what's going on the planet right now is moving us toward sustainability because people are seeing the need for caring for the environment. They're seeing the need to maybe even have a garden, at least a garden, to grow some of our own food because food prices are soaring, energy consumption is pretty intense, and it really is mandating this shift in consciousness and awareness. And I think permaculture is really on the wave. It's at the crest of the wave of consciousness and awareness and people really moving into higher spiritual dimensions of being. So I'm David Christopher Lewis. This is Heart Center Talk Radio. My guest today is Bill Wilson of Midwest Permaculture. And we're going to take our final little commercial intermission here and be back to talk more about what you can do, how you can get involved, and learn more. So stay tuned.
To Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the ascended master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
We are back with Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Lewis with Bill Wilson of Midwest Permaculture. Before we get into the last segment here, I'd just like to share that we have a free promotion. We're giving away a hardcover book called Healing the Heart of the World, Harnessing the Power of Intention to Change Your Life and Your Planet. And I co wrote a chapter in that book with Michael McNeil, and it's a fantastic book, a compendium of a lot of really interesting writings by people such as John Gray, Carolyn Mace, even Prince Charles. So if you are interested in getting a free book, log on to heartcentertalkradio.org or .com, actually, and we have a random drawing, and you may be the one that win the book. Also, I'll be co-teaching a class coming up October 19th and 26th, co-teaching because really it's overshined or overshadowed by an ascended master named Lord Maitreya. You may have heard of Maitreya. And this class will be a wonderful opportunity for those of you who are a little bit more into the esoteric type of teachings of the New Age to learn more about Mu, Lemuria, and where we are headed into a golden crystal age and how we can access ancient knowledge and wisdom and apply it today practically in our lives for conscious awareness and for all that we are doing to make our planet better. So returning now to Bill. Bill, you shared during the break with me where you're headed next. So where are you going to continue teaching?
We do about 8 or 9 of these permaculture design courses a year. And in a week and a half or so, we're heading over to the unfortunately, it isn't exactly the Midwest. It's in Hesperia, California, the California Institute of Earth, Art, and Architecture, also known as Cal Earth. This will be the fourth year that we've taught a combined training. So students are coming for 2 weeks, and the front part of the course is all about earth building, and the second part of the course is our permaculture design certificate course. So it's a double certificate program. And then a couple weeks after that, I head out up to Grass Valley, where we are teaching the same course. That was a course that Mona took about 7 years ago, I think, and it's at the Shivananda Yoga Ashram in outside of Grass Valley. And then
wonderful.
I get to take a couple months off.
And write your book. You
Winter,
said.
That's right.
Well, on your property right there in Stell, you don't have a huge property, but you've done some pretty interesting things right on your own lawn, and you gather rain from the gutters. Tell us what you've done there that you actually show as a demonstration site for your students when they come to Stell.
Yeah, well, we offer usually 3 courses a year in Stell so that people can come here and actually see the stuff that we're doing. It's really helpful. And then we have our friends and neighbors have 8.7 acres of land right next to Stell, and we've created a permaculture design project for them. It's called Center for Sustainable Community. And so we're slowly implementing that permaculture design on the land, and students help with that. So it's a pretty interesting project. But in on our property, we've got a series of rain gardens. Water comes off our roof, and actually we channel it, so it goes from one rain garden to the next. And when all 3 rain gardens are full, they spill over, and the extra water ends up hitting this berm where we have a lot of gooseberries and currants on it and works its way back towards the back of our house. So we estimate we're holding somewhere around 8,000 to 12,000 gallons of water every time we get a real heavy rain, and those systems fill up. And then in the back part of our property, once again, we have another system that runs water through 3 different hugelkultur beds and then into a berm. And once again, we're growing food on those. We probably have about 70 edible or useful species of plants now in our yard. So it's pretty lush. It's a pretty wonderful place to walk through. I remember last year, June, walking, my office is in a community building here just across the yard from my house. I was walking home for lunch one day, and I was just marveling at our peach trees. They were just loaded with peaches. And then I walked over, and I saw the pear tree, and it's loaded with all kinds of pears. And then our plum tree is loaded. And then I walked over, and there's the grapes, and there's the currants, and there's the gooseberries, and there's the raspberries, and there's the blackberries, and there's the the rhubarb and the asparagus. And I just realized it was June, and all 10 of those items I hadn't even looked at yet this year. I mean, I haven't spent any time planting anything or weeding or cultivating or fertilizing. I haven't looked at those plants, and here it is June. They're all in full bloom. They're producing a crop, and I haven't done any work yet. That's
wow.
what permaculture is about.
That's amazing. Now, on your website, I do see a greenhouse. So for those who still like certain vegetables that are annuals that they have to plant each year, you know, a lot of permies, as the permaculture people sometimes are called, still have greenhouses, and they still grow other food. Yet with the nut trees, the fruit trees, the berries, all of these, you can have just an amazing crop that you can use and store and harvest and eat in the future. So tell us about, do you teach anything about greenhouses or share?
Not heavily. I mean, we do touch on greenhouses because it's just it's part of what we call season extenders. So we have a section of the design course where we look at, well, how do you extend the growing season? And greenhouses is one of those elements. But we definitely see annual agriculture being around for the foreseeable ever. We love potatoes. I mean, in our climate, potatoes, and we love tomatoes, and we love green peppers, and we need, you know, they're annual crops for us. So we're going to continue to grow them. But the idea is how do you tuck those in and amongst the perennials so they don't take up this massive amount of space and you're not rowing this long row of beans, but rather you have a clump of beans in six different places in your yard and you don't have hardly any weeding to do because you have so many other useful plants growing around them that there's not that much work involved with them. So we integrate the annuals with the perennials as much as we can. But growing and preserving food for the winter is definitely part of a permaculture design. It's really polyculture is what we're after. We're looking for a variety of ways of creating what we need and minimizing the amount of work and energy demands to do that.
Awesome. Well, Bill, it's been a great pleasure to have you on our show today. This is Heart Center Talk Radio. I will be speaking next week with an amazing guy, Richard Bartlett, a doctor who's both a naturopath and a chiropractor, and he's written a book called Matrix Energetics and a second book called The Physics of Miracles, and he'll be on at same time, same station next week, Wednesday, the 8th of October, and he's going to be talking about his own work and discovering this quantum physics and miracles that have happened through Matrix Energetics. And also, I'd like to invite you to check out our website, heartcenter.org. We have all kinds of opportunities for you to connect with spirit, with your higher self, with the Ascended Masters. And I've been privileged to have released over 4,200 what we call heart streams, and sponsored by and inspired by Ascended Beings who I communicate with audibly, with the gift that I have of clear audience. And so we have many courses, we just returned from Canada from a pilgrimage, and we have conferences quarterly. And there's just so much for you to partake of through heartcenter.org, our website. So it's been a privilege to be with you today. I hope you learned something new, those of you and my listening audience. And check out our website and stay tuned to all that we will be sharing in coming days and weeks. I'm David Christopher Lewis. Live in the conscious presence of your divine self. Get outside in nature. Get your hands in the soil. Learn about permaculture and live a conscious life. God bless you. Take care and stay tuned to all that is real coming up.
You've been listening to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis. Tune into this hit show every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as David shares received messages from the angels, masters, and divine beings and touches on progressive revelations for today on diverse topics including divine science, advanced alchemy, cosmic solar awareness, the new blue wave, abundance and healing. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. For more information and to contact David, visit heartcentertalkradio.org or call 360-894-4410. See you next week. To Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
The Read of a Lifetime, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis, overflows with new vital revelations to enlighten your mind and transform your world. Learn to supercharge your aura with rainbow-colored radiance and magnetize your heart's highest desires. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura. It will change how you see yourself. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis. Order it today at davidclewisbook.org.
Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.